Tonight we have two scripture readings. First of all, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 17, and secondly, Colossians 1, 9 through 23. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let us now also turn to Colossians 1, starting at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created and are in heaven, and that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. Thus far God's precious word to us. Dear congregation, new things attract us. New things can be exciting. New is often better than the old. New comes with hope and expectation. when we get something new, we want to often be done with the old. And so it is in the Christian life. When He has made us new, there's a lot that changes. And that's what our text is talking about tonight. Our text is taken from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are going to reflect on the many things that God pours out upon His people that are new. This moment we have maybe anew at His table tasted of His love and of His grace and His mercy. But I pray that as we listen to the things that God gives to His people that are all new because they are in Christ Jesus, that our hearts would be stirred up to seek after more newness in our lives. As the people of God, especially. And if you don't know the grace of God, then that you would be jealous. That you would seek for that newness to be true in your life also. And that you would cry out tonight, Lord, give me a new heart and a new desire. So let us then consider, with the Lord's help, all things new. First of all, a new position. Second, a new person. And third, a new prospect. Our text says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, if any be in Christ Jesus, therefore, let's listen to this word. Wherefore is the therefore? We have been studying this together. That Paul has lived in light of eternity and he realizes that he has to appear before the judgment seat, verse 10. He has been reminded that there are super apostles that came to Corinth who boasted only in outward appearance and not in the heart, verse 12. He's reminded then that when we are believers, that we have been united in Christ with His death and resurrection, and that is going to work itself out in our lives. That we die to our sins and that we rise in a new life. More and more. And feel often the poverty and the weakness and the suffering that comes with that. And He's talked to us about, in the past weeks, about a proper fear of the Lord, living in light of eternity. As well as the love of Christ poured out in abundance into our hearts. Verse 14 and verse 11. And now He says, therefore, verse 18 says as well, we don't live according to the flesh anymore. We don't know Christ after the flesh. But how do we know Christ? We know Him after the Spirit is the answer. And that's why it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ. That means that the Spirit dwells in us. We have now been given a new position in Jesus Christ. God does not look anymore upon us in our sin, but He looks upon Christ the Savior, who is seated on the right hand of the Father, and who has come in and has brought His blood into the heavenly place and presents this to the Father. Father, I have finished the work. And therefore, those who are by faith united to Him, they are as Christ. When they one day will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, they will be acquitted, forgiven, He will say, cleansed, accepted, chosen. You are beloved in Christ. That's your new position, dear believer, already now, with all the infirmities that you have in your heart, all those times where you feel, I have nothing. You look away and you say, But he has everything. I'm now in Christ. Let me illustrate this. We were in Adam, dead in trespasses and sins. Now we are in Christ. In Adam, we had rebelled. We are hiding before a God. And maybe there are some still here hiding away from God. Rebelling against God. You need to be in Christ to be saved. But what does it then mean, believer, that you are in Christ? Let me illustrate. I've used this illustration before. David and Goliath. Goliath. What is our Goliath? It is sin, death, and hell. Enemies far stronger than we can ever overcome. And we look at our Goliath and we tremble. Mighty enemies we can't overcome. But then we look to our David, our Christ, in whom we are. What did he do? He trod the winepress along. He took with David a few stones and he went and faced Goliath, Satan, the dragon, head on. He fought the battle for us. He overcame. In him is the victory over sin, death, and hell accomplished. It is finished. And we are in him just as the people of Israel were. When David won, they won. So also now, when we are in Christ, he won the victory for us. He fought the battle and he did so and he overcame. And that's why we were here, to celebrate that. To celebrate that new position in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We confess that when we sit at the table, that all those blessings of salvation are for us in Christ Jesus. His suffering, his victory over sin, death, and hell. And he shows that to us with a simple meal to remind us of that battle that he fought hard. And he shows that when we take the cup and says to us, drink ye all of it. And when we take the bread and says, take, eat, this is my body. And he explains what it is when that first supper. Do you remember those words? Something new. What was it? For this symbolizes my blood of the New Testament. That is the new covenant of grace, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He has a new covenant that shows we have a new position. From that covenant flow all the blessings to us, so that we may enjoy life and joy and strength and health and spiritually because of this new covenant. He makes us alive. He makes us like his son. And he has sealed this. And he gives us promises. I'm your God. You're my people. He seals it with his own blood and says, I have poured it out. I have paid the price. It's for you. And so, because of that new position, because of that new covenant, because of that new covenant meal that reminds us of all those blessed promises, because we are in Christ, now we may approach God every day with new boldness. New boldness, Hebrews 10 verse 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We're hidden in Christ. What does that mean, that there's a new way? The old way were sacrifices. Over and over. No, but now there is one sacrifice. This word new means newly killed. Just died. Freshly sacrificed for us. Think about it. How precious. Jesus Christ's sacrifice. This is new and living way. It is as it were, when we look at the blood of the cross, that Christ is saying, that God is saying to us, when I see the sacrifice of Christ, the blood is still warm. It's just sacrificed for you. That's how effectual it is. It's accepted by me, the Father. A new way. Effectual in Jesus Christ. It's a living way. Because it makes us alive. It gives us eternal life. It gives us spiritual life. We breathe after God. We want to be cleansed, forgiven, and dedicated to Him. A new and living way, and we come with new boldness because we are in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Because He has given us a new name. A new name. Isaiah 62 verse 2, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Revelation 2 verse 17 picks this up and says, to him that overcometh, that is through faith, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That means that God now is going to feed your soul by His blood and by His body. And He will give him a white stone. That means that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in the stone is written a new name, written which no man receiveth, knowing that he, saving he that receive it. So only those who receive it know this new name. Children, do you remember Jacob? Jacob had for years tried to gain the blessing in his own strength. He wanted the blessing. Serve God in his own terms. He wanted so badly. Every turn of his life he proved what? Old name, Jacob. Deceiver. Heel grabber. Wanting things his own way. Until when? Peniel. There in the darkness of the night he wrestles with God. With the Lord. He didn't know it was the Lord. But there God does something in Jacob to humble him deeply. He cries out and he hangs on to the Lord. And the old Jacob dies as he makes his way the next morning. He is weak, limping. But God says to him, you have overcome, Jacob. I give you a new name. Your name will no more be Jacob. It will be Israel. Prince, overcomer with God. That's what God does. He brings us to an end of ourselves. To give us a precious new name. To humble us. So that we cling to God. Cry out, bless me, Lord. Bless me. New name. What is it? I'm your God. You are my people. That brings it back to the covenant of grace again. The new covenant. You are my people. Israel. You're my people. I will be a father unto you, we heard last week. And ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A new name, a new title, a new position. Sons and daughters of the King, accepted in the Beloved, overcome us by faith. How blessed. And this, beloved, is just the beginning. Because it works itself out, secondly, we are made into a new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed. Did you hear that? Believers are new creatures. That's how God looks at us. The word creature here can also be creation. Believers are God's new creation. When God created the world, He spoke everything into being. And similarly, these words remind us of the fact what God has done and still does for sinners who cry out to Him. He makes them spiritually alive. From death, we enter into life and we become a new creature. That miracle of the new birth. Paul talks about it in chapter 4. What happens then? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? God speaks light in the darkness, just as in creation. What do we see? Glory. The glory of God. How do we see it? We see it in the face of Jesus Christ. A new creation. Alive unto God. Someone said, only the power that makes a world can make a Christian. And so it is today. Do you know that? We need to know this. Born anew. Brand new creature. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. A new heart He gives because we are a new creature. A new spirit He gives us. He takes out that stony, insensitive heart and He gives us a heart of flesh that is sensitive. And our text says, all things have passed. We have new desires now. We now long to live for Christ. To know Him better. To know God better. To live for holiness. We now desire to pray and read the Scriptures. We hunger after more of Jesus Christ in our lives. We desire to love our neighbor, and we often fail, and we repent and we say, Lord, give us more love in my heart. And you desire to walk humbly and closely with the Lord. New desires. Because God makes us new. He gives us that new heart. We are a new creature. When God created Adam, he was the high point of creation. God's masterpiece. It was ruined. It was shattered. But now, in this new creation, He restores us to that place. The high point of recreation. Listen to this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Workmanship. That is such a beautiful word. That means we are His masterpiece. His work of art. He is remaking us into His image. When God, as the heavenly potter, had just made man, he had to remake them because we were spoiled. But now He is making us, kneading us into a vessel fit for the Master's use. A work of art. It's going to be beautiful. Presented spotless before the throne of His Father. One day. Because He gives us new desires and a new heartbeat. He just doesn't make us reformed, orthodox reformed Christians. No, He makes us transformed Christians. He doesn't just patch us up. No, He makes us new, reshaping our lives entirely, more and more and more. And so what do we need? We need the work of the Spirit that reshapes us. Romans 7 verse 6 talks about the newness of spirit, that we should serve Him in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He gives us a new spirit. We don't just approve of orthodox doctrines, but we want to be close to Him. We want to love Him. We want to submit to Him. We want to obey Him because He gives us a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, so you love one another. And we look to Christ again for the fulfillment. We abide in Him. Because greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He has laid down his life for me. Shall I then not love and lay down my life for others? A new commandment I have given to you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He works in us that humble, obedient spirit. Because that's the promise of the new covenant. What is the promise of the new covenant? Not only that God is our God and we are His people, but also that we now have a law written upon our hearts. It's that new commandment is written upon our hearts. The law of love. True love. Empowered by His Holy Spirit. Children there, you know Augustine, right? You've heard about him. He was a sinful man before God made him new. He lived a loose and immoral life. But after his conversion, one day he was walking the streets, and there was one of his former lovers, a prostitute. And this lady began to call after him. She approached him and called him by his name, Augustine. Augustine ran away when he heard it. As soon as he could. And she called him again, Augustine, it is I. But Augustine kept running and shouted back at her and said, but it is no more I. That's what we need to do with sin. We are a new creature. It's no more I. We can serve sin. Do we do that when temptation knocks on our doors? That we say, it's no more I. I'm a new creature. Are we radical with sin? Or are we grieving the Holy Spirit, beloved? Quenching the Holy Spirit? Then we can't walk close to Him. Then it's all fits and starts, a little bit close here and a little bit close there. But then in between, it's falling in sin and faltering. We need the power of the Spirit to live in this new life of God. Have some of us perhaps cheapened the grace of God and the gospel? It's a new creature. In orthodoxy, we say, yes, it's all of grace. Absolutely, that's true. We are saved without good works. But then we are not seeking. We are not hungering and not going after Him. And maybe, is it true that some of us have found a nice pillow in Romans 7 to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And just lay there and sleep. Oh, may it never be so. Because, beloved, that Roman sever was a cry from Paul's heart, a cry out of the depth. Oh, wretched man that I am. And he fled right away to the Savior. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us not justify our sinfulness. and our lack of holiness. It is available in the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of His Spirit. Newness of spirit. Have we ever pleaded with the Lord, Lord, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Are you wrestling, taking these things serious? Because without holiness, God, no one shall see God. He renews us. He gives us all these new things. All things have passed. If you miss it, then there is an overflowing fountain in Jesus Christ. Seek Him for everything that you miss. So He gives us a new position. We're in Christ. He makes us a new person with new desires. And He gives us finally also a glorious new prospect. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. It's so amazing that Paul says, behold, come and have a look at a moment. Look for a moment here. Here, this is a new creature. Not perfectly, but nevertheless truly so. Right across the board, I've made this person alive. Unto godliness. I make all things new. Behold. I make all things new. Paul here is referring to Isaiah. He's quoting from Isaiah. The promises to make all things new. So there's a new creation in our soul. But this is just part of a greater and gloriously greater plan, because God is going to make this whole world new. New world. And His saved creatures are part of that new world already. Now, with the first creation, He began to make the world and then He placed His creature in there. Now He does it the other way. He saves His creatures and now one day He will make the world for them. A glorious new Jerusalem, an environment in which God will be all and in all. Revelation 21 talks about that, a new Jerusalem that will descend as a bride adorned for a bridegroom. There God will be dwelling with men, John writes. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be their God. See the new covenant again? And then we hear in verse 5 of Revelation 21, the same text as we hear in our text here. From the glorious throne of Jesus Christ, we hear Him say, behold, I will make all things new. He's going to have a new creation and a new Jerusalem. All things are going to be restored, and mankind is just the beginning of it. And that's also why we read Colossians. Because there it speaks about this in Christ Jesus. He's going to bring this whole new created order gloriously under one head, restoration, reconciliation, a glorious new creation, a world upon which righteousness dwells, a world of which Isaiah prophesied that the lamb and the wolf, they will be so peaceful that they can be safely together again. There will be the young child who is playing with the adder there, and no fear whatsoever. Peace. No more death, no more crying, no more pain. There will be no more sin. Hallelujah! Christ will be all and in all. A new heaven and a new earth. What are we going to do there? Yes, we will serve Him. But there will be that precious Lord's Supper of the Lamb. He's promised to meet us there. Around that table of the Lord's Supper of the Lamb. There, beloved, as He promised at that first supper, He said this about that day. Verily, that means amen. It's very sure. You no need to doubt about it. I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. New wine. New wine. New joy. Eternal joys will flood our hearts there at the Lord's Supper of the Lamb, and we will celebrate there forever and ever what He has done through the new covenant. He made us His children. He made us His bride. He's become our bridegroom. He will present us spotless one day, new clothes. And glory will fill our hearts. And He will serve us and feed us forever. Eternal pleasures will flow from His right hand. Beloved, the best wine He will reserve for last. He began His first miracle making wine. But His last miracle will be eternally better. New wine. Our cups will overflow with His love and His salvation and His nearness. So much so that there will be a song bursting from our hearts. A new song. What is the new song? For they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in on the earth. A new song about the new covenant. About the precious new blood and the new way that He has paved. With a new task on that glorious new world. Reigning on the new earth with Him. Kings and priests. Behold, I make all things new. Glory will dwell in Emmanuel's land. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He will make all things new. Believer, let that calm down your heart when you see the oldness still there. Let it calm down your heart. When you struggle and you see and you fear what is going to happen in this world, the darkness is settling. There will be a new creation. Light and glory will shine forever. Righteousness and holiness will be. We will be there, but most of all, Christ will be there. What a precious day it will be. That glorious new day when Jesus comes. But then I urge you also in the name of the Lord to walk in the newness of lives more and more. To pursue it with all your might by simply abiding in the vine. By walking close to Him, closer and closer. Lord, reveal Thyself unto me. Show me. Love me. Teach me. Make me humble. Help me to fear Thee. And I urge you with Hebrews 4 verse 1. That if you know these premises. That one day you will enter in God's glorious rest. Oh, let us fear that none of you should fall short of this. Should miss out on this. Maybe there are some here who fear that. I say to you, take our text and turn it into a prayer. Lord, give me a new position in Christ. Lord, make me a new creature. Thou hast promised. Lord, let old things pass away. Lord, Thou hast promised to have a glorious new creation. May I be part of it. Make it into a prayer. If you lack anything, He can supply all your need. Let that newness begin more and more. It is His work. Let us turn to Him for all that we need. Amen.